Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Greetings and welcome. It is Wednesday, October 23rd of 2013, and I am Blake the Eccentric, and this is the Eccentric Perspective on Freedomizer Radio. A little bit late today, but I will be here live for at least an hour and a half, covering the latest news and current events, and man, I've got a lot of stories today. Watching the continued collapse of Obamacare and much more. I've had a lot of computer struggles today. I've had to reboot my computer, change a few stories, a few things I haven't even gotten to. Just pretty overwhelmed with news today, so plenty to discuss. And if you'd like to get your take on that or perhaps help drive the news, influence it, what have you. You want to join the program, you may join us at freedomizerradio.com. And if you want to log into the chat room, you can post a link for an article there. Perhaps something I've missed, and I really didn't get a lot of, there's just so much going on, and with the computer difficulties that I had, I wasn't able to even look at a lot of the alternative media and Twitter. I was pretty busy just on drudge, and then a lot of stories, just so many stories cycling through, so I missed a lot on Twitter and activist posts and before it's news, and even David Icke didn't even have a chance to get to a lot of stuff. So if there's something out there you think I've missed, what have you, feel free to drop a link in the chat room. Otherwise, you may call up 347-324-3704, and we can talk live on the air. How exciting. All right, so where to begin today? Let me pop up the Drudge Report. Okay. Well, the headline has gone from, the red alert, the old red font, the big crazy must-see headline of the day. It's now gone back into the black. I guess the warning is down. I don't even know if I got up the I think the site that I was trying to pull up for this is already maybe unable to handle the Drudge traffic. Oh, there we go. All right. So, well, I mean, the previous headline was about Obama losing the Saudis. I don't know. The Saudis are getting a bit critical. We can get to that later. But right now, it appears that this is a little bit embarrassing. This is actually hilarious. It's embarrassing, not for me, per se, but, for the administration. Again, I mean, this is just getting more embarrassing by the day. This administration just can't. Everything it touches just turns to you know what. Right now, they are just they are. What would you just say? Just swirling the bull right now. You even had Jay Carney walking out on a press conference yesterday. Couldn't handle all of the Obamacare questions. Tried to, deflect everything to, Kathleen Sebelius or the computer experts. He just couldn't handle it. It's the whole administration's really falling apart. I don't even know what to say. It's this is quite historic, but lots of stuff in the news. But anyway, the headline, I've been stalling here, is that the U.S. is another NSA story. The USA spied on Merkel's mobile phone. Yes, the, what is she, the chancellor? Is that what they call the president over in Germany? Is she? I believe she is the top one in charge. I should know that offhand, but I don't. But I just assume she's the top leader. She is the one in charge. The buck stops with Merkel up in Germany. And, yeah, it looks like the NSA or what have you, the spy machine, the military-industrial spy complex, whatever we want to call it, was, yeah, spying on Merkel's mobile phone. So is no one safe? And, of course, this is after a revelation by latest Snowden-Greenwald that they were monitoring 70 million phone calls in France in just a one-month time. Also the leader of Mexico. I don't know his name offhand. But, yeah, looks like there's pretty much spying on everybody. It doesn't matter what if it's in different languages or anything like that. So this is, I think this is going way beyond a security state and more of a, this is, I guess, I don't know, this is, what's that guy's name? Oh, dear, the old FBI guy, J. Edgar Hoover. This is getting into some weird stuff. This is Gestapo. This is going way too far. I mean, UN, I forget what else has been bugged. I mean, so many things. I mean, they are just gathering information on everybody all over the world. And, in fact, this story, which I have not pulled up. So here we go. Germany, U.S. may have targeted Merkel's cell phone. So what does she do? Looks like she called the administration, according to the headline. I'm going to have to pull that up. Looks like it's working. So the German government says Chancellor Angela Merkel has called President Barack Obama after receiving information that U.S. intelligence may have targeted her mobile phone. And, of course, leader of, was it France? François Hollande, is, I think he wanted to talk to the U.S. ambassador, ask a few questions. Why are you, well, not that maybe he has anything to do with it. Who knows? Everyone seems to be compartmentalized. But, yeah, pretty bombshell stuff. Maybe, I don't know, should it be a surprise? I don't know. Nothing surprises me with this administration. But could you, I guess, in order to maybe appreciate the magnitude of this, imagine if, I don't know, Russia or China or Iran, or it doesn't really matter. We can pick a country. I mean, it could be Mexico. It could be Canada. It could be England. You know, imagine if their military facilities, their intelligence-gathering services were monitoring our phone calls. How would you like? How would you feel if whatever French intelligence or any of these are monitoring your phone calls? You know, I mean, what are they gathering on you? How violating is that? So, I mean, no one is safe. And you would think, Merkel or these top world leaders would have some sort of some fancy secure phones, but apparently not. They know how to get into everybody. I mean even Piers Morgan knows how to hack a phone. All right, side issue. So Merkel spokesman Stefan Siebert said Merkel made clear in Wednesday's call that, quote, she views such practices, if the indications are confirmed, as completely unacceptable, and called for U.S. authorities to clarify the extent of surveillance in Germany, as she should. So a statement from Siebert said the German government, quote, has received information that the chancellor's cell phone may be monitored by American intelligence. The government wouldn't elaborate, but news magazine Der Spiegel which is published material from NSA leaker Edward Snowden, said its research triggered the response. All right. Wow. Okay. This thing has gone super viral. I haven't even gotten all the there's already 1,000 comments. Let's see if I can just pull up the top two. It's always exciting. This one's out of Breitbart. All right, and it says ours too. As in, yeah, not just Merkel. It's not you're not alone there, Angela Merkel. Yeah, welcome to the club here. This is John Magnum, who's a frequent commenter everywhere, but it's all good. Ours too, and our home phones, and read our emails, and keep recordings of all. Führer Obama and the NSA Gestapo has overstepped their bounds. America, when is enough enough? And there's just a million replies to that, so I don't know if I can find the next top comment. I'll just move on. But here we go. This is the other co-headline here from the local. I think this is from Germany. This is from Deutschland, the local.de. All right, so news site Spiegel, Der Spiegel, reported that Merkel's mobile phone had been spied on by the U.S. and German chancellor is taking it seriously. And she demanded an explanation in a telephone conversation with Obama. So I guess she called Obama directly and was like, what are you, are you spying on me? Are you, is your CIA or NSA or what have you spying on my phone? And I guess, let's see. I don't want to repeat information here. Going into the quotes that I've already said, actually this probably isn't any new information. Not really sure what happened with the conversation. All right. Okay. The top comment here says, well, Obama probably, it says, Obama reassured Merkel the U.S. was not spying on her communications. And if she believes him, it's her own fault. Couldn't you see that? I could picture that. Obama trying to say, oh, no, we're not spying on you. It's just, you know, you got to be careful what you read in the Der Spiegel. Got some faulty information, you know, certainly. Whatever, I'm not going to. Anyway, apparently, this is the next comment. Apparently, Obama told her, if you like your cell phone service, you can keep your cell phone service. All right, that's a really good one. Thank you, Mohammed Falafel. I'm reading that correctly. Is another good comment from Jonathan. My God, are we trying to infuriate every world leader? Yeah, how many have we? I mean, I'm not going to be able to name them all, but Hollande, so we got France, we got Merkel in Germany, Mexico, I can't remember his name. We also on Brazil, too. I know I'm only probably hitting a fraction of them. And I mean, not just in fact that we're spying on their emails and phone calls, but does anyone want to say that this is the end of it? I mean, is this the last one? Was it just isolated to those few that we were spying on? I doubt it. But anyway, I will move on. Hilarious. Sort of. It should be embarrassing for our country, but when there's just, so much going on, and Obama's been so bad. This is these 5 years have been so painful. I'm, you know what? I can't help but take a little glee in all of this, watching the administration crumble away. And did I get, of course, with now Sibeli? We haven't even gotten to Obamacare yet. I mean, there's just so many things. All right, so where to go next? All right, have I got the chat room up in Freedomizer? No. If I can actually get this to work, that would be helpful. I'll try reloading the site. All right, so All right, what's next? What's next for the embarrassment in D.C. here? All right, of course, we've got Sebelius on the run. She had an interview with Sanjay Gupta of CNN. This is out of Real Clear Politics, where Sanjay's at. I don't know if I should cover this. This is an interview here. We'll see how this goes. So Sanjay asking Kathleen Sebelius, did you try signing on the site yourself? To which Kathleen says, I have created an account on the site. I have not tried signing up because I have insurance. Well, how convenient. So Gupta says, well, did you find it challenging? Well, what did you think of it? To which she replies, well, I think there certainly are some challenges. It could be smoother. It could be easier to access. And that's really what we're working on. You know, what do you do if you're Kathleen Sebelius? And I don't know if she's just, being kind of used as a useful idiot here, or if she's really a whole part of this and knows the whole score of the whole bigger picture here. Because I'm not really sure, how much she had to do. How could it be this bad? Or how could they trust her this much? Or none of this Obama thing, this Obamacare thing, this makes any sense. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are saying it was designed to fail. Very credible people, and I can't, disagree with that. You say, I'm not a programmer, so I can't, look at the code, or I wouldn't even know what to look for or how to access it or anything like that. But, would they really try to do that and get away with it? I mean, who knows? I wouldn't put anything past these people. I don't even know. But what would anybody else do if you were Kathleen Sebelius right now? You just want to go crawl into a hole and hide for a few months, I guess. But I guess it's unclear to me because I don't really know how much she actually knows, and if she's just the fall guy, so to speak here. But I don't know. It doesn't look like, I don't know if they're actually going to fire her or what have you, or maybe she's going to plead the fifth when she has to go in front of Congress sometime soon here. I wouldn't want to be Kathleen Sebelius. Or do you just say, I don't know. I guess would she try to protect the administration? I mean, if she doesn't really know what's going on, maybe she should, just come out and say it. Just, tell us what you actually know. Just come out and be honest. All she's doing is going out on the run. I don't know if she's trying to save the Obama administration, the embarrassment, or if this is really her fault. I mean, you could just say, I don't know. Well, of course, there's the whole idea of, is this really, just some sort of Cloward Piven? But think about how audacious it is to make something that was designed to fail for another motive and to try to pull that past the American people. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's exactly what it could be. They could have tried to do that, and these people are just so arrogant and out of touch and think they are so, powerful they can, control the media. I have no idea what the big plan here is or was. I mean, I can't imagine, they really tried to put this out and thought people were, and it was going to work. And this is just, it's such an embarrassment, but I don't know. I don't even know what to say. All right, let's see here. So, anyway, Sebelius goes on to say, nobody says that the site is working the way we want it to. Then my screensaver popped up because I've been ranting too long. Okay, certainly the president acknowledged yesterday, no one could be more frustrated than I am, and this isn't smooth. Yeah, he looked really frustrated. He looked like he didn't give a crap. He said, I don't know. And then he had, do we get into the fake fainting? I mean, that was, there's a new video out today. There's actually a couple of really good videos that break down the fainting. I'll get to that. One thing at a time. One thing at a time here. All right. So anyway, she says, back to this interview, people are signing up every day. People have available coverage. And no one, I think it's important to say, Sanjay, is losing coverage now. The earliest... Actually, there's a article. I have so many articles today, I couldn't put them all on my screen. But that's actually not true, is what she's saying is they're losing coverage now. There's a, in fact, there's a article, well, I know Mike Adams, there's a great article by Mike Adams. Maybe I'll get into that because that'll cover it. It's about people in Florida that are losing their health insurance. And the numbers are actually pretty staggering of all the people that are losing their previous insurance. All right, I don't even know. Let's see if I have it. Thousands of consumers get insurance cancellation notices due to health law changes. I believe that's in Florida, but I will get to that. So I don't even know what's. I'm gonna give. Because I have so much stuff to get to, why don't I just get out of this interview? There's going to be plenty of articles on the Sibelius, so I will move forward. So we've got here out of the New York Times, Sibelius thrust into firestorm on exchanges. Yes, the first and perhaps most painful call for Kathleen Sibelius to resign as President Obama's health secretary came this month from an old family friend, Senator Pat Roberts, Republican of Kansas, who once boasted of a special relationship with Ms. Sibelius, forged when he worked for her father-in-law. Now, Ms. Sibelius, the former Kansas governor who is the public face of Mr. Obama's health care overhaul, is facing a barrage of criticism over the problem-plagued rollout of its online insurance exchange. For Republicans, still reeling from their failed defund Obamacare strategy, remember this is the New York Times here, and government shutdown, she has proved an easy target. Yes, we're still, I guess they're still trying to keep the... yes, Republicans reeling from their failed defund. Don't you really still, you're still going to push that? Let's blame the Republicans for what exactly? What, the Obamacare was working so well and they were so scared it was going to come in and work so well, people were going to like it and save all kinds of money and say, these dirty Republicans, these right-wing nutjob teabaggers and the Koch brothers that were trying, they just hate people and want them to die and not have health insurance so that they can, I don't know, make a bunch of money and make the administration look bad. Right. Actually, now... I mean, Ted Cruz has got to be he's got to be feeling the vindication. He went out, spoke for 21 hours trying to prevent the debacle from taking place, and even though the administration kind of bought some time, they still couldn't get this website to work. And now it's just absolutely, it's basically collapsing like they all said it was. So, yeah, now they're still trying to what do we blame the Republicans for? They tried to protect us from this giant. They actually tried to protect you from the giant debacle. Maybe you guys should have actually, I think they got to look back and think, you know what? Maybe we should have listened to the Republicans and delayed this thing for one more year. And if they really cared, then they would have plenty more. You would think they'd have more time to fix all the problems. No, instead they wanted it. They wanted to blame the Republicans, force this thing out, and now it is such a disaster that, now it's just the hilarity is ensues. So, in a way, I don't even know what to say. I can't even articulate the fact that this was happening. I couldn't even lay out the cover of this. This is like a dream or something. This is like you cannot script this. How could this be this bad? I mean, the way it looks is like something this is going to be talked about for decades as one of the biggest disasters, you got to think, in history. The Obamacare fiasco, disaster. I don't even know what to say about this or how history is going to look at this. I don't see how they can possibly turn this around, and now the Democrats are just look like fools and are scrambling. I don't know what's got to be going through their heads, watching the administration just crumble apart in front of them while they're still trying to act like everything's going to be fine and it's still all the Republicans' fault. I don't even know. So now I've been getting sidetracked here. Republicans insist the buck stops with the secretary. But although Ms. Sebelius runs the Department of Health and Human Services, the agency directly responsible for the health care law, there are questions about how deeply she was involved in the development of the troubled website. Yeah, and as I've said, I kind of lean towards the idea that maybe she is just a compartmentalized and really didn't know the full scope of this, and she was just being used as the possible, you know, fall guy in case things go wrong, which it looks like they are. So I don't know. Maybe if it's that case, then maybe she should say that, you know, she really didn't know and she was left out of this. Save herself. I don't know. But who knows what really goes on between Sebelius or what does Lois Lerner really know about everything? I mean, you just start to put these people together and how they have this whole administration command structure put out. I really don't know what goes on behind the scenes. But anyway, here's a quote here. I don't know who this is from. It's a person close to Sebelius says, "Kathleen has the title, but she doesn't have the responsibility or, in many respects, the kind of wide authority and access to the president that she really needs to make a difference." All right, and this person asked to remain anonymous. "Everyone thinks that she's the driving force, but unfortunately, she's not." So, yeah, I guess she can just, but that's how the Obama administration can do it. They keep her compartmentalized, act like she's in charge, the people around her are running it, but she doesn't know that she, I don't know, or it is that it has occurred to her, or does she just trust the administration? She's up in that spot thinking she's all important and such, and she's been being used this entire time. Is that possible? I mean, anything goes. Anything goes at this point. With this administration, nothing should surprise anybody. So the White House kept close tabs on the creation of the online exchange with particular attention to the website's design, but managing the details of the software development was left to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which she oversees. And I don't want to spend too much time. I know I'm up against the break here. All right, so try to pick and choose here what I want to articulate on this website, on this particular article here. So here's a quote from Joe Pitts, Republican of Pennsylvania, saying, "Why would she mislead us so shortly before the rollout when they were obviously not prepared and are still not prepared, and it's going to take a long time to fix the problem? We want to know how long she thinks it's going to take." So I guess, you know what, there really isn't any accountability. So if everything is, well, if this whole Obamacare disaster goes wrong, even though Sebelius might not have that much to do with it, she's probably going to get the blame, and then where does it go? And then it'll just never get to that link, that link to that top, that smoking gun, that, you know, that irrefutable proof that it leads all the way to the top. It leads to Obama. It leads to Valerie Jarrett. Much like the Lois Lerner IRS thing. Who knows? I mean, there's got to be something. So on Tuesday, well, let's see here. Well, I guess she tried to provide some answers, saying it was a technology surge. And, of course, even the Democratic defenders agreed the secretary did not help herself. Of course, she fumbled her appearance on The Daily Show. And I don't know if there's anything else I really need to add to that. But certainly wouldn't want to be in Kathleen Sebelius' shoes right now. But anyway, I'll move on. I know it's time for break, so I will take a quick couple of minutes here. I've also got how many calls on hold here? All right, as well. All right, so stick around a couple of minutes. I'll be back on the other side to get to more Obamacare and the latest, the latest failures of the administration and more. So stick around. Blake the Eccentric, The Eccentric Perspective on Freedomize Radio.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic, great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com, and check it out and order it, Silver Leaf Tea.
Hi, this is Cindy Lake. Please listen to me on Freedom Talk with Cindy Lake at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on freedomizerradio.com. All the issues that are important to you, like Common Core, Agenda 21, Fully Informed Jury Association, 10th Amendment, 2nd Amendment, 4th Amendment, 3rd Amendment, the Constitution. See you at freedomizerradio.com, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See you there.
C is for cookie. And that's good enough for me. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Saturdays. I love you, Miss Cookie. Join Cookie and
good
me
job
on See the Power in You.
Wednesdays and Thursdays. Wednesdays and Thursdays. Oh, you didn't know? It's time for Guerrilla Radio. Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays and Thursdays, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's right, babies. Guerrilla Radio. The truth is there. We're going to find it. Guerrilla style. Only on Freedomizer Radio. Oh, you didn't know? It's time for Guerrilla Radio. Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays and Thursdays, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's right, babies. Guerrilla Radio. The truth is there. We're going to find it. Guerrilla style. Only on Freedomizer Radio. Thursdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
All right, I am back. Blake the Eccentric, Eccentric Perspective on Freedomizer Radio. And let me take a quick phone call here from Regular Girl. What's going
hey,
on, Regular Girl? Hello.
Hey. Well, I have a slightly humorous story about the bummer care and
all right,
the web. So I forget where I heard this, but it was on a news show, I think it was a few days ago. So apparently what I heard happened, and I'm gonna check this out if I have time, because I would like to see the look on Barry's face while this was occurring. But apparently, as we all know, a lot of people were having trouble with the website, right?
Right.
So I'm listening to this news show, and here's what they said happened. They said at some point that Barry gave a speech addressing this and telling people where to go, you know, to calm down, relax.
Right.
Everything's okay. Meanwhile, there were some good people in the wing who got right on it and called the number. And then when they got the, well, here's what happens when they called the number, the line was busy. It didn't work.
Right.
And those who got through were simply redirected back to the site that didn't work, right? Back to the number that didn't work. So I know that there's more than just me who's had that experience with bad government offices, you know, where you just can't get through and you can't call. But these guys were waiting in the wings to get right on it. They called all the numbers that Barry was giving out, and then when they found it was a dead-end lane lie that he was giving out there to the people once again, they got right on Twitter. And so the news report said that Twitter was going crazy while Barry was still giving his calm down, relax, everything's okay. All you got to do is go on over here. The Twitter was going crazy.
Right.
Did you hear this?
Yes. Yes.
Have
it happened on Monday. Yeah, it happened on Monday. He was making his big speech in front of the nation in the Rose Garden, and he said that, yes, if people are having trouble with the website, then they should call a navigator. So that overloaded the phones. Of course, that was the 1-800 FU number that they had. And then the people that were calling in, if they didn't get a business signal, they were usually asked, and so they couldn't get through with the problems they had either, so then they were redirected back to the website, which doesn't work. So, yeah, it was a dead end either way. So, yeah, no, exactly. Good stuff. I mean, it's an epic disaster, epic failure. There's no other way to script this. So this will be the legacy of Obama. All right, hey, regular girl, it was good to hear from you. I'm going to jump. It's a heavy news day, so I'm gonna jump, but good to hear you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, take care. All right, and now I also have Larry on hold. Let me grab Larry. Larry, what's going on, brother?
Mr. Wally, how you doing?
I am doing just fine. How are you?
Oh, just hunky-dory. Enjoying a nice, quiet drive in the state of Oregon. Nice communist little state. Hey, did you listen to... Well, it is. It's not much better than California, man.
All right. Issue. It's all good.
Yeah. No, actually, it's all bad, but that's another story. Anyway.
There's a bunch of hippies that are pot-smoking, lots of... you know, I think of Oregon, I think of a lot of people, hippies, weed-smoking, and good microbrews.
When I think of Oregon, I think of the state that says you can't even collect rainwater. You have to have a permit. Have a watering hole for your cattle, and very much a tyrannical, draconian police state. But
all right,
anyway,
fair enough. Well, let's get back. Let's go ahead.
I mean, you know, it's not...
That's fair. Side issue. Go ahead.
Yeah.
What was the other point?
Did you listen to the John McAfee interview with Alex Jones?
Yes, I did.
Hey, is that dude
very good? Yeah.
Cool or what? I tell you. And then he goes out and shoots those 50 cows with Alex. It turns
out he's
pretty cool dude.
Because a few months ago he was looked at like, oh, okay, there was a big thing going on in Belize and he was under investigation and he had to go escape. And we weren't sure if he was just some, like, you know, if he went nuts or something or if he was the real deal.
No,
it turns out he is the real deal.
The police government is the one that's gone nuts. But
yeah.
I think it's what he did to the police government, it's a hoot, man. Gave them computers. How stupid can you be? Pretty stupid, apparently. To take a computer from a software genius, he's going to know the inside and out of anything and everything about computers. And you're going to do communiques on that very same computer that he gave you. And he can listen and see exactly everything you say. So he had so much dirt on the prime minister, it's not even funny. Did you catch that part?
Maybe, but, you know, I take your word for it. No, he seems like a good guy, so... No, I like the interview. People should go check that out. I didn't tweet it out because it was like 50 minutes long, but yeah, it was definitely a good interview, and he's redeemed himself, and he is looks like a real patriot and a good another asset for us. So, you know, it's good to have McAfee out there. Yeah,
I didn't think he was a coup. I just...
Well, we didn't know. It was just a lot of stories because we didn't know anything about McAfee. Oh, he just, you know, some rich dude who sold his company a long time ago and was living out in Belize. You didn't know if he went crazy or if there was something to it, and he's redeemed himself, so that's all good. So is there any other point you had on McAfee? Or?
Not really. I thought it went pretty good. Thought I'd see what you thought of it. You know, it turns out he's a lover of guns and nuts about them, about like I am. So, you know, my kind of people.
Very good.
You know, he can fire a 50 cal from the hip and hit a target at 300 yards. That's pretty badass, man.
Yeah, I don't even know much about it. Like I said, I'm not a gun enthusiast, but no, that's all good.
50 cal is a beast.
Yeah,
okay.
I know what it is from video games. I've used it, like, you know, like a Barrett sniper rifle. Yeah, I know what it is. I've never fired
forget
it. I'm not a person who goes and shoots guns.
Video games. No, the real deal, okay? I mean, online I've had people go, oh, dude, you have an SAL in real life? Call of Duty or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, it's Call of Duty, yeah.
Yeah, oh, man.
I like
real
life,
dude. Forget the cartoons.
Yeah. Well, in real life, actually, in the video games in Call of Duty, I really like the M16 and the ACR were both nice weapons. Those were a couple of my favorites. The FAL was nice, but you had to pull the trigger every single time. It wasn't automatic, even though it did have a lot of stopping power. There's my analysis of guns.
It's a cartoon. It's not real. And they do.
I don't play it anymore. This is from a couple Call of Duties ago. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
They did make a fully automatic FNFAL. It just you had to get either a Belgian or Israeli version. The ones that Brits, Aussies, Brazilians, and Argentinians use with a semi-auto. But it was easily converted.
The M16 in that 3-round burst was just unbeatable. You could just walk around with a laser sight on it. You could really do some damage with that.
That's
that was
because
always,
it's on a video game. It's on a video game. In real life, it's a piece of junk, okay? It's an overglorified
squirrel. Well, you don't get the 3-round burst, right? All right, fair enough. All right, Larry,
it's only a 22.
We're getting sidetracked.
Well, the rest of it, I don't really care about Obama and all that. I mean, it's just, you know, it is what it is. It's a scam. It's a joke. It makes me want to go puke and Bushell and Mr. Barack MacDaddy Hussein Obama ought to be shipped to Mars on a one-way ticket.
All right. Fair enough. All right.
Okay. And they should take the rest of Congress with them. Okay. All of them, pretty much. You know, start over, hit reset. Kind of like you do in a video game. You know, when you die and you have to hit reset. Yeah, let's hit reset. New game. Okay. Same constitution, different characters. And from
very
a different
good
walk of life. Yes. And they can take the Rockefellers with them. But anyway, in the meantime, go do your show and, you know, have a nice time.
All right, sir. It's good to hear from you.
Likewise.
Peace out,
Larry. Everybody. Get a gun. Have fun. Guns are fun.
All right.
Really. And they're educational. Yes.
Very good.
Adios.
All right. Yes. Adios. Yeah, I'm not a gun enthusiast, but, you know, like hypothetically speaking, like, I mean, if like Ted Nugent, you know, called me up, even though I'm not necessarily a Nugent fan or a gun enthusiast. If Ted Nugent called me at home and said, "Hey, dude, Blake, we should go out shooting, dude. You know, I'll fly you out to, you know, wherever he's at, and we're going to go shoot guns for the week." You know, I would totally be down, totally. But outside of that, I'm not the enthusiast, you know. Anyway, but I do 100% behind the Second Amendment. But anyway, moving on, what else do we have in the news? Let's get back to the Obama debacle here, the Obamacare debacle. So back to Drudge Report. Right now we've got John Boehner saying more people will lose insurance under Obamacare than sign up in the exchanges. So here we go, out of the Washington Times. House Speaker John Boehner predicted on Wednesday that by the end of the month, more Americans will have lost their insurance by being kicked off existing health plans than the number who were able to sign up in the flawed online healthcare.gov website. And it says the early numbers may back him up. It'll go way up. I mean, if there's only like a handful of people that are signing up, they won't even give out the numbers. Apparently, I also saw a note that said New York State has not signed up a single person. I find that hard to believe as a very big blue state with an enormous amount of people has not signed up anybody. So, yeah, and of course we're seeing thousands of people lose their current insurance. So Kaiser Health News reported this week that hundreds of thousands of Americans have received – oh, yeah, here's that – this is dovetailing into that article that I had, which I – decided not to cover, reported this week that hundreds of thousands of Americans have received notices from their insurers canceling their policies. That's 300,000 from Florida Blue and 160,000 from Kaiser Permanente in California. So one industry analyst told Kaiser Health News the moves may be a way of insurers ridding their own rolls of costly consumers they don't want and pushing those people onto the federal health exchanges. So here's the quote from John Boehner. Says, "When you begin to look at these hundreds of thousands of people, I think what you're going to see at the end of October are more Americans are going to lose their health insurance, then are going to sign up at these exchanges." Okay. Right. Well, I can't really deny that. On Tuesday, of course, administration officials began to place blame for the failures. Early Wednesday, an official briefed House Democrats on the technological problems, earning protests from Republicans who wondered why they weren't given the same briefing. Anyway... there's a lot of the Democrats themselves are totally freaking out. I had a Politico article. It wasn't too terribly fascinating, but it had a lot of interesting quotes of them scrambling around. What are they going to do now? It's got to be is there any lower moment to be a Democrat in D.C. right now than with this whole Obamacare rollout? They just forget about Sebelius. They must all just want to crawl into a hole and hide for a while. Too bad it's not like August where they can take the month off and go hide somewhere on an island. Who knows? How would you like to have your name on this thing? Because they have to own it. You're going to go blame Republicans for trying to stop the Obamacare thing? You should have. I bet if they could turn back time, as Cher said, they would find a way to, delay this thing for a year. You know what? I really like this Obamacare thing, but you know what? We should really delay this. Just one more year, maybe just 6 months even. Let's make sure this is going to be really all right. Oh, because now they've just got to be kicking themselves, to say the least. Unless, of course, at the very top, this was the plan all along, which really isn't that far-fetched the more you look at it and the code and you think how big this is. This is the Obama legacy. You would think this would be airtight and running great, and all this time they've had to put it together, all the money they've put together, and they just a spectacular, epic failure. Okay, that's all. All right, of course, it doesn't even get into the prices, and here's CBS this morning. This is CBSNews.com. Healthcare.gov pricing feature can be off the mark. I think that's sugarcoating it. CBS News has uncovered a serious pricing problem with healthcare.gov. It stems from the Obama administration's efforts to improve its healthcare website. A new online feature can dramatically underestimate the cost of insurance. Dramatically underestimate the cost. So the administration announced it would provide a new, quote, shop and browse feature on Sunday, but it's not giving consumers the real picture. And in some cases, people could end up paying double of what they see on the website. According to Jan Crawford, who reported this Wednesday on CBS. So as President Obama promises to fix healthcare.gov, his administration is touting what it calls improvements in design, specifically a feature that allows you to, quote, see plans now. Now, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney has said, quote, Americans across the country can type in their zip code and shop and browse. But CBS News has learned the new shop and browse feature often comes with the wrong price tags. Oh, dear God. Let me see if I can advance down this list. I won't get into some of the specifics because I guess the website lumps people into only two broad categories of age brackets. And that's you're either 49 and under, or 50 and older. So I guess that's kind of part of that is the reason why people are getting a false sense of what they're actually paying. Because if you're actually, you know, 27 years old and you get on these sites, or I don't even know, what difference does it make, right? So according, I mean, everyone's feeling the sticker shock. More stories of, if you just kind of, you know, get a brief overlook, you're going to pay $231 a month. But once you actually get on there, if you can actually get through there, you're actually going to find out that it's usually going to be 50% higher. You're paying $230. Oh, now it's going to be $360 a month. All right, another horror story of a 62-year-old trying to get a basic plan. The estimate says $394, but the actual price is $634. So industry executives CBS News spoke with could not believe the government is providing these estimates, which they said were useless and could easily mislead consumers. They also said that the website repeatedly states the actual prices could be lower. Well, here's the kicker. But it makes no mention that they could be higher. Of course not. That's another just the beauty of the Obamacare. Even if you can make it through the buggy, glitchy, awful website, you're going to get the big sticker shock and realize that your rates are going to go through the roof. And you're, I mean, even the Daily Kos was forced to admit that. So, yes, this is comedy gold. Let's, you know, speaking of comedy gold, let me get to Jay Leno here. Yes, the talk show hosts are having a field day. Here's a story by Noel Shepard out of Newsbusters. Here, let me hold on. All righty. Nice big blast of coconut water here. All right. Now, as Newsbusters has been reporting, late-night comics are having a field day with a disastrous rollout of the president's health insurance exchanges. NBC Tonight Show host Jay Leno began the program Tuesday saying it's easier to join Al-Qaeda using their website than it is to sign up for Obamacare. So here's Jay Leno. So here's a very disturbing story. You may have heard about this. 25-year-old man in New York arrested for trying to join Al-Qaeda. Well, here is the amazing part. He said it was still easier to join Al-Qaeda using their website than it was to sign up for Obamacare. And he was in. He was in like 2 minutes. There we go. And, President Obama said yesterday, when it comes to all the problems with the Obamacare website, he said, no one is madder than me. So, apparently, he hasn't met any of these Republicans, I guess. Okay, there's fire up the laugh track here. And, of course, you know today, boy, it's hard because today there were more problems with the website. It seems when you type in your age, it's confusing because it's not clear if they want the age you are right now or the age you'll be when you finally log in. So there's a period there. All right, anyway. The observation overall is the website is such a disaster, the jokes just write themselves. Yeah, all righty. What else? We've got a couple more minutes before break here. Here's another one out of the Daily Caller. Obama is using Obamacare meltdown to raise cash. Yeah, get this. President Barack Obama is using the disastrous crash of Obamacare to extract cash and volunteer hours from his supporters. Quote from Obama, "By now, you've probably heard that the website has not worked as smoothly as it was supposed to," Obama told his supporters in an email sent out late on Tuesday. "And that's why I need your help," he said in a video pitch that links to an online fundraiser. I mean, these people are just shameless. Well, the other side has already spent a whopping $400 million in anti-Obamacare TV ads, says the language on the – yeah, I get these emails, too, from the – I don't know if this is from the DCCC – DCCC? Yeah. Or if it's from Organizing for America, I don't get their ads. But it's always about, oh, you know, these Koch brothers and the Tea Party Republicans put up $400 million to say bad things, say mean things about Obamacare. So can you contribute $3 or more so we can fight these ads? Anyway, yes, they're asking for donations because the opposition is putting $400 million. Well, gee, if the product was so great, you know, why would you could save all of that money? You know, you would just show the what are you going to counter this with? So if the other side has spent $400 million in anti-Obamacare TV ads, I don't even understand what you need the money for. If the product is great, then, those other ads would have no effect because people would be signing up in droves, saving tons of money, and they would be laughing at the $400 million campaign, and that would just be a huge loss of money from the other side. But instead, you're going to start getting money out of your just dumbed-down constituents, your dumbed-down masses, to put counter ads to say that Obamacare is really good. I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. This is so weird trying to cover this stuff because I can't believe this is actually happening. I don't know. So, but anyway, let me move on. I know it's up against the break again. And as I said, I'm going to throw the number out again. I would love to get your take. What's going on with this Obamacare thing? What's your take on it? I don't know, any horror stories? Anybody tried to sign up for it? Anybody get the sticker shock for it? Anybody think it's great? You know, just anything out there. I'm curious to hear if you're out. 347-324-3704. Give me your take on Obamacare or what do you think is going on. I don't know. It's all open. There's so many different angles to address on it. So, but anyway, I'll be back on the other side. Blake the Eccentric, Eccentric Perspective on Freedomizer Radio.
There is a new program on the Freedomizer Network, Bloody Beak Radio, punching the New World Order in the nose. Bloody Beak Radio is here to inform you on a wide variety of topics revolving around current and recent events. The main thrust of the show is not just to inform you of the problems we face, but rather, how do we analyze them in a way that we can use to create counter-propaganda and use that knowledge in our everyday lives. In a sense, how do we market the truth? Bloody Beak Radio will give you the tools to win the information war so we can destroy the barriers that divide the people and have a peaceful revolution. Join your host, Kyle Baker, on Sunday evenings to have an honest discussion about how to win the numbers game and ensure that we decide the tipping point, not them.
Hi, this is the Rose, Rose Colombo, right here on the Justice Club at Freedomizer Radio, where freedom is free and the truth is allowed. On the front line for 25 years, protecting your civil rights, constitutional rights, and fighting back against legal abuse.
Join Rose Colombo every Monday and Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's the Justice Club with Rose Colombo, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
All right. I am back down the home stretch, perhaps. Blake the eccentric perspective on Freedomizer Radio. All right. So I don't have any calls on hold for... the Obamacare debacle, or perhaps just anybody that wants to stand up for it. Maybe you've actually gotten through the website and, you know, you saved a bunch of money. Then maybe, you know, I can apologize. And I can say, hey, look, we've got somebody who's actually enrolled and saved money, and this is all a big right-wing conspiracy. This is all, you know, the Koch brothers, I guess, you know, hacking the website or something, or sabotaging something somewhere. And there is an article by Steve Watson, InfoWars, on that. People are pushing that. They just cannot believe that their guys, their administration, is absolutely losing, is absolutely just imploding right now. And that, yeah, it looks like the Republicans or the Tea Party are really making them look bad. As bad as they, you know, whatever. I don't even know what to say. All of these, I really don't. I can't articulate the magnitude of what's going on right now. And why are there still so many Obama supporters out there? Why are so many people just this naive sort of wishful thinking? They just don't want to face reality and just how bad this administration is. And this pretty much just sums it all up. I mean, this has been a historic year, 2013, for the Obama administration. I mean, everything has come unraveled. It's scandal after scandal. They can't do anything right. And now they finally got Obamacare, finally got it through. And then it just turned into the most epic train wreck disaster, I could say of the century. But who knows, you know, what the rest of the century. It's interesting because, I mean, what if people, you know, what if the year is, you know, 2099 and we're talking about what are some of the craziest things that happened in the century, the 21st century. You know, where is Obamacare going to place on some of these lists when you think about 21st century America and you're going to look back at the Obamacare disaster? Or is it actually going to turn around and redeem itself? Is it really going to come out and say, wow, it was rough for a couple of months there, but then finally they just got it working again, and then people were just saving tons of money, it was the greatest thing ever, and then who knows, maybe... people will be praising Obamacare in the year 2099 as the turning point for you know the for, I can't possibly see how this is going to be looked upon in the future as something that was a good thing or that worked, that it ended up being a good thing. This is pretty historical stuff here. So, anywho, let me move on. Where is all right, just seeing if I have anybody to get an Obamacare opinion here. All right, moving on. Actually, I do have another call. You just have to press 1 if you want to speak to the host. All right, so what's next here? We've got, we could also talk about, do you think the fainting in the Rose Garden was staged? There was a hilarious video I tweeted out from beforeitsnews.com. I forget the guy's name. I've seen him do. He's kind of an alternative media guy. He puts out some pretty funny videos. I don't know if I have my Twitter open. I think I shut it down because sometimes it seems to drag on my system. But I won't. But if people want to go check my Twitter feed, eccentric99. From yesterday, October 22nd. I do have that on the board. I suggest checking it out. Really funny. But there's another analysis. It's about a three-minute analysis saying that this thing was, looks like it was staged. I was talking about it Monday. I only had a chance to watch the video a couple of times, so I was kind of leaning towards the idea that they wouldn't really do that, would they? Would they really fake a fainting? But then when you start looking at this has happened before, and this lady, and I'll post this on the board. This one's out of the Weekly Standard. It's called Conspiracy Theorist Contends Obama's Fainting Lady Was Faked. But, I mean, once you really look at the details, it really is suspicious and probably deserves an explanation. I think even a New Yorker, this New York Magazine, whatever, tried to address this and spin this. But, I mean, when you look at the evidence, it's kind of like, wait a second. The pregnant lady, she was about to pass out, and it was, like, right on cue. Like, of all the people standing around there, how is Obama, who's, you know, out speaking in front of millions of people in a big live speech in the Rose Garden, how is he able to just turn around on cue and be the guy who, saves her from falling? Like, no worries, I gotcha. And then when you look, the lady standing next to the pregnant lady, actually, they were holding hands in a scene, and she had her arm around. And so there's some signals going on. I mean, I don't think this is a conspiracy theory anymore. I'm really looking at it like it was staged. You know, on Monday, of course, I couldn't say that. It's just, it's too bizarre to even go there. But, the more you look at it, the more it starts looking like this was all, and why would they do this? Anyway, even the words that were used, the signals, I mean, you have to see it for yourself. I'm going to post it on the board if I can get it in there. All right, but I'm definitely going to tweet this one out. Can I get this in here? Paste. Okay, yeah, there it is. Conspiracy theorist contends Obama's fainting lady was faked. And another great video, like I said, from the Before It's News from yesterday. All right, moving along, or is there something I had to add from that? I don't remember if there's much for words. So, if you watch it, she really pulls up all the different angles and focuses in and shows you all this stuff. So, it's obvious there are quite a few people involved in the latest little fraud put out by the White House. This is the words here. So why did Obama think it was necessary to catch a fainting woman just when he said the words, quote, to free families from the pervasive fear that one illness, And then he just happens to turn around, and down she went. And he happened to save her and look like the good guy here. All right. So, and not actually down. She just weaved and wobbled. And consequently, Obama never actually caught her. He turned around, put his hand on her shoulder, and said, and then turned around back to the camera to make it sure it got a clear shot of his rescue efforts. So I don't even know what to say. You guys just have to see it for yourself, because I don't know if I can do it justice, but I have to cover it. That's just that's amazing stuff. And I don't know how you, like I said, there's even a thing put out by the New Yorker magazine trying to spin that as crazy, but really when you watch the video, I don't know how you come up conclusively and say that it definitely was. There's just too many coincidences to dismiss it. So is this just how shameless and weird this Obama administration is, that they would go out and actually try to make Obama look like the hero by, saving a fainting woman and having some little, I don't know. I don't know to what extent these people will go to push their agenda. I'd probably surprise even, I don't know. Who knows? All right. Moving along. Oh, we've got a White House official fired for tweeting under a fake name. Actually, I don't know if I should get to that now or if I should continue to go on. Oh, speaking of other good videos, actually, yes, I'm going to get to that, but I'm going to wait. I want to try to. So I was mentioning earlier about Jake Carney could not handle the Obamacare questions. And you wondered, I've been wondering for, years, really, on this Jake Carney guy. How does he's got to have one of the worst jobs in America. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he deals with all of those questions every day. And really doesn't even have to deal with that strong of questions anyway. They're usually softball questions, and if you ask too many hardball questions, you're just not invited back. Now they usually maybe keep a couple of the Fox News guys that are there. I don't know, Ed Henry, or I forget who some of the usual suspects are, that do maybe ask a few tough questions because they have to be there. But, I mean, really, it's a lot of softball stuff from the media. But this Jay Carney walking out is absolutely hilarious. He couldn't handle it. And how do you handle the Obamacare thing? How would you want to answer all those questions? And there's just really nothing to say and nothing to spin on it. So White House spokesman Jay Carney abruptly walked out of the briefing room after struggling to answer questions related to Obamacare. And as he walks out, the frustrated reporters can be heard asking questions, including, have White House officials watched anyone without insurance go through the website trying to help the situation? Or how about, couldn't we have a Health and Human Services rep just come to the press briefing? No, of course not. How about since the October 1st launch of healthcare.gov, Carney has repeatedly ducked uncomfortable questions by referring reporters to HHS, where they are met with silence. Yeah, there's no accountability by this administration. You've got Obama will never answer any tough questions, and usually when they do have the White House pressers, nobody gets to ask any tough questions. And, of course, if you do, you're probably going to lose your access. I mean, it's just such a sad state of affairs with this administration. But finally, Jay Carney finally cracked and just couldn't handle it anymore. How would you like to defend this administration? And I don't even know what to say. But this one's absolutely hilarious, too. So a couple of great little small videos out. I will post this on the board as well. Okay. Moving along. Lots of Obamacare news. All right, what else do we have before I jump subjects? I want to hit the... here's another thing to discuss. Anybody, the Alan Grayson. Well, that'll be coming up. Let me finish Obamacare before I get into anything else. All right, CNN, this is out of Breitbart. We've got CNN is finally admitting that Obamacare's site is doomed, riddled with security dangers. This, of course, I don't want to say it was, Mike Adams was one of the first, InfoWars, naturalnews.com, talking about the problems with the site. How doomed, of course, I was talking with Larry earlier about John McAfee. A lot of people are just saying, yes, it's doomed. It has to be scrapped. It's not going to work. And it's got a ton of security issues as well. So, I mean, I've even heard that it was a hacker's dream and how much personal information you could get out of this thing. Today on the CNN Money site, there is a terrific story about the problems surrounding the Obamacare website. The story includes all kinds of new information from a host of experts, and most of the news is flat-out terrible. The half-billion-dollar site needs to be rebuilt from scratch. The site has an unwieldy 500 million lines of computer code, and that the code is riddled with security holes that could result one of the, quote, biggest breaches in American history. So, and these same expert, now really, this is CNN now being forced to admit from... is saying that these same experts do not think there is any chance the site can be fixed by the end of this year. That would be catastrophic to the administration's first-year enrollment goals and possibly force them into doing the unthinkable, and that is suspending the individual mandate for a year. So... Oh, here's what's weird. Oddly enough, unless I missed it, the CNN money story is not getting any play on the CNN network or anywhere else. So I'm confused here. Is CNN money, maybe that's like, is that kind of like the Fox Business? So it's a separate, it might be a separate network I didn't know about. So it's kind of like CNN's version of CNBC, or I think Bloomberg has their own kind of financial news type of thing. Basically, yeah, they're rivals to CNBC. All right. So I'm guessing that's what that is. I'll clarify. That actually was not on CNN. It was on CNN Money, if that is a channel. All right. Anyway, let's see here. Do I want to pop the comments on here? See what people have to say here. I don't know if I want to repeat this. Obama pinched a turd. It's called Obamacare. All righty. I'll leave it at that. That's a good place to jump. Next one is also Breitbart. Obamacare debacle. American media misses yet another scandal. So we've even got the Washington Post's Ezra Klein now admits that weeks before the disastrous Obamacare launch, he heard some very ugly things about how the system was performing. We also know now that a few hundred people were involved in a test that crashed the site days before the launch, and that insurance companies were complaining about the site before the launch. And on top of all that, we are now seeing story after story about the red flags ignored by the administration. But it isn't just the White House claiming to be caught off guard by the obvious. It is also a useless American media that seems incapable of breaking stories embarrassing to this president. Yeah, doesn't that sum everything up nicely? So is this now? This is pretty interesting stuff. So Ezra Klein saying that he, the administration know that this wasn't ready for launch. Well, why didn't they just delay it? You would think that they would just say, maybe even, look, I don't know where Obama gets his advice from, if it's from, you know, Valerie Jarrett or what are some of these other clowns in his administration, Dan Pfeiffer, what's another one? I can't remember all of their names, but they're a pretty sad group of people. I would laugh in their faces if they tried to give me any advice. But anyway, side issue, the point here is, and did I already forgot what my point was? that, well, they already knew that they know that this thing wasn't going to work. Why didn't, okay, here's what I would have done. If I would have known the thing wasn't going to work, if the advisor said, hey, Prez, this thing isn't going to work. It's probably, we haven't tested it out fully, but a lot of people are having problems. You know, I would think I would use that time to say, let's delay it and then blame the Republicans for it. Or then we can actually, you know, push it back 6 months or actually you could say, hey, you know what, we want to be fair and we want to be partisan and we don't want to divide and we want to come together and work on our problems. So we want to listen to the Republicans and say, you know what, we should wait another year before, maybe wait another 6 months before we put this in, and then we'll roll the thing out in 2014. You know, that's what I guess I would have done. So why did they push a buggy site, and now you're saying that they already knew this up front? Of course they must have known this is up front. How would they not? How could, otherwise you got to say how incompetent could they be to really push this out? I guess either way, yeah, I mean, either they are epically, is that a even word, of epic proportions. Either way, they're just epically incompetent, or they designed this whole thing to fail, thinking that this would, I don't know, they maybe could push the blame on Republic. How did they think that they were going to come out of this and not be an epic disaster on, you know, in their laps? Like, I can't wrap my head around it. I really don't know. How could it be this bad? So, anyway, and of course, yes, the useless American media. Well, yes, as I kind of said, they don't get to ask questions. There's no accountability. I mean, you can't go to the president and ask tough questions. So you go to Jay Carney, and then he's just going to lie and BS, and we all know it, and it's sad. And even he reached his breaking point, so I don't know. Is that they going to find someone to replace him? I thought they had a couple of new ones in the wings. Jen Psaki, she's always getting slammed too. I forget who else is maybe going to step up. Who would want that job? How much would they have to pay you to be the press secretary? And, you know, I mean, not that I could do it, because I'd be like, hey, he's lying. This is all BS. They make me come out here and ask, you know, and just BS everything. But, I mean, really, if you really wanted to go out and lie and BS for this administration, I mean, how much would they have to pay? How much does Secretary Carney get paid? Because it's not enough, whatever it is. But at some level, it's not going to matter, because even Carney has got to be held accountable for, misleading the public for all these years. You would think if this whole administration becomes, you know, comes unraveled, which I think it has to, for the greater good of our future. We can't allow this kind of incompetence and what other word do I want to use? It's not only just incompetence, it's just like deliberate, they have a deliberate agenda, an ulterior motive for everything. This is just, it's an unscriptably bad administration, and I can't believe that this is actually happening in America. This is just beyond my ability to articulate at this time. So let me back to the board here. All right. Take a deep breath. All right, moving on. Where to go next? I've only got about 5 minutes left in the broadcast. I'm thinking I might go into, I don't know if there's been a show after me the last few weeks. Boy, on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I don't know. I think I've been running a lot of replays, and I think it's three totally different shows. There's been some shakeups here at Freedomizer doing a little, so I don't know yet. I'm getting a little bit more free time these days, so I'm trying to figure out a way to do do more airtime. So I don't know if I should. I'll continue going if there's no show after mine. I'm not really sure exactly what's been going on or what's going on with our latest lineup. So I know I've got a lot of stuff left over to cover. Really scratch the surface. Just a heavy news day today. A lot of stuff I haven't even looked at yet. And, of course, I do want to cover some more of these articles, especially since I haven't even gotten to the InfoWars and all this stuff. There's so many other things to get to. But let me finish with this in case I don't come back on the other side. Should I probably take a delay for a few minutes to see if there's another host? I mean, not a big deal. If they come in, that's cool. I will just tweet out the rest of the highlights of the day. So follow me at Eccentric99, and I can get those stories out. Otherwise, maybe I'll just I'll continue. So right now we've got here's out of InfoWars. I touched this earlier. The nutjob Obama supporters believe healthcare.gov disaster is part of a right-wing conspiracy. Yeah, they just cannot wrap their heads around the fact that they've been duped this whole time. They're a bunch of gullible fools, lemmings that will follow Obama anywhere, and just cannot possibly believe that they're wrong. Yeah, you are wrong. You guys just have no frickin' clue. I realize that the Bush administration was awful, and I realize that you know that they're wrong. But you have to get it through your head that the Democrats are just as bad as the Republicans, whether it's from the policymakers or some of the pundits or the media. It's all the same. So just because they're wrong doesn't make you right by default. But I guess I don't understand the mentality here. They just can't they can't get it through their heads that maybe Obama isn't the nice guy you think he is. That maybe your media is basically playing you all for a bunch of fools. But I guess these people are out there. These are a bunch of people on Twitter. We got Obama supporters are simply refusing to believe that Obamacare could be anything short of a world beating, with many blaming the glitch-ridden rollout of healthcare.gov on a nefarious right-wing conspiracy to sabotage the Affordable Care Act. So many Obama supporters have taken to social media to float the notion that the Koch brothers, billionaire industrialists, are funding an army of techies and hackers to somehow infiltrate and take down the healthcare.gov website. And believe me, if all of you people could actually, get on there and, actually enroll, even if the Koch brothers, I can't even go with that. That's just insane. And if there were any proof of that, there would obviously be huge, huge stories about that. But the problem is, no, it's not really in reality. And even if you can go through the glitchy healthcare.gov, are you going to say that the Koch brothers are also making the prices way higher? And is that their fault too? Even if you can make it to the part where you can, choose a plan, most people are going to go running and screaming for the hills when they see how much the stuff costs. Like, oh, great, I finally get health insurance, yay! And then you realize, wait a second, I have to pay for it? And, okay, that's going to cost me, what, $300 a month? I mean, that's being generous. Who knows, dealing with every particular situation. So let's see, you can go buy a modestly priced car, or you can have health insurance, but you can only have one. I mean, who has the extra money for this stuff anyway? And anyway, you've got these are actual tweets from people saying, anyone wonder about sabotage in regard to the ACA website? The Koch brothers certainly could fund a team of men, inside men, writing faulty code. you could make that argument if, like I said, if the prices were really good and you know, and it's just, people just had trouble accessing it. Like if you're going on, they use the kayak.com, which is a good website to go get the best flights, you know, the best prices on flights. Like if they sabotaged Kayak and you couldn't, you know, there was all kinds of really crazy good deals out there, but you just couldn't get to it because the site was so bugged. Then maybe you could make an argument saying that somebody got in, they just don't want to see you. They don't want to see the success of all the people that are signing up and going, wow, you know, I went into it thinking it was going to cost me $200 a month, but that's okay. I think I can pay that. I can get by, and it's very reasonable. And then you get in, and then it's like, oh, you know, wow, I thought it was only going to be $200. It's actually only going to be $150. You know what? Screw you, Republicans. Screw you, Ted Cruz. I thought I was getting ripped off. You guys and the Koch brothers went on and on and on. But then, you know, the reality is the prices are freaking high. No one's getting a good deal. It's not the Affordable Care Act. It's all really expensive. And no one's signing up for it. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I'm going way past my time here. I don't know if I have, if this is my time to go or not. So I have to hang up for a minute here. You know, like I said, I'd be happy to turn the keys over to the next host. I really don't know if somebody's showing up, but just because recently I've been running a lot of replays after my shows, so that doesn't necessarily give me the green light to go. So let me take a couple of minutes. I'm going to hang up, and then perhaps we'll be back on the other side, or somebody will be here, either the other live show, or I will show up for another half an hour, finish up the news and more on the other side. So why don't I take a break? It's that time anyway. So Blake the Eccentric, Eccentric Perspective on Freedomizer. Maybe I'll see you, maybe not. Follow me on Twitter, Eccentric99, and that's all I've got.
Come listen to Ancient of Days, where we talk about the lies, misrepresentations, and holes in the history we learned in school. Mondays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Freedomizer. Thank you.
Hi, this is the Wolfman.
And this is A.D. Venture.
Join us as we host the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 p.m. Pacific.
You'll learn about primitive skills, survival techniques, equipment and gear.
We'll also discuss useful tips and tricks, product reviews, and even have a few special guest appearances.
Join me, the Wolfman.
And me, A.D. Venture,
for the Barefoot Bushcraft Radio Show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio, every Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific.
Mainstream media is a focus on old, tired ideas, brought to you by old, tired people. Bring yourself back to the youth, the promise, the sharp vision of the next generation. No holds barred talk on politics, news, and everything else. The Next Generation, Mondays, 9 p.m. Pacific, 12 midnight Eastern, right after the Proof Negative show, only on Freedomizer.
Hey there, Freedomizers. This is JC from the Sports Lounge. Join us for 3 hours on Saturdays as we take a break from politics to discuss sports at freedomizerradio.com. Come and join us each Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Pacific, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern.
Get this back on. All right, well, I am back. Looks like I don't see a new host They had a few minutes of time to get in, but if you are out there, host, I don't know, just drop a line in the chat room and be like, dude, it's my time. You got to get out of there. I will graciously leave here. But since I've got plenty of extra news to cover, I will just continue, maybe another half an hour. We'll see how this goes and how much news there is today, because there's certainly a heavy news day. So where did I leave off? That would be the Steve Watson InfoWars article about the nutjob Obama supporters who just can't get it through their head that they've been duped. And so now they actually think that the whole, the Affordable Care website, the good old Obamacare, has all been sabotaged by the Koch brothers. So let's go through some more tweets here. How about, how many trolls are the Koch brothers paying to clog up the ACA website? Republican governors refuse to set up exchanges to forcing the feds to do it. Okay, yeah, sure. All right, next one. Did Koch brothers pay off website contractors to sabotage launch of Affordable Care Act? how about sabotage? Right-wing overloaded healthcare.gov jammed the website to bring it down. Koch fingerprints all over it. Right. Just make stuff up, you know, whatever. Next. This was in response to, Josh Marshall of Talking Points Memo. Could the Koch brothers have had a part in sabotaging the ACA website? All right. Like I said, you know, you could make the argument if the prices were great. If the prices were great and the Koch brothers and the Republicans were just scared because of all the people that were going to be signing up in droves, saying how much money they saved. Oh, my God. Yeah, it'd be like the Geico commercials or whatever. And I did that. There was that tweet that was put out by an Obama bot, sock puppet account with even using the Obama avatar that said, it actually boldly stated, and I responded back, I don't remember what I wrote, but the point is that by signing up for Obamacare, I'm saving $15,000 a year. And then goes on to say, what kind of car should I buy? I can't believe that they would actually, you know, boldly lie that badly. But, I mean, you know, just hypothetically, yeah, you know what, if there was actually a bunch of single payers out there that were, they had their doubts, they went onto the healthcare website, and it really was affordable care. That was an understatement, because, man, I'm saving so much money on my family plan that we're actually going to upgrade our car. I mean, that would be, you know what? There would be a backlash against the Republicans. Oh, my God, I can't believe Ted Cruz spoke for 21 hours trying to reject this thing. They shut down the government, and now we've literally rebooted the economy because of all these people. They're saving all of this money on Obamacare, on their health care, and now they can, you know, buy all kinds of new stuff for their family. That would be something. But that's not reality. So why would the Koch brothers have any reason to sabotage anything, even if that was, even if we were entertaining this possibility here? So how about if Republicans are so anxious for Sebelius to testify about Obamacare glitches, so too should McConnell, Kochs, and media on their sabotage attempts. Really, you're just assuming it has to be, it can't be sabotaged. We couldn't possibly be wrong. I don't know when reality is going to hit these people. And it's so sad. I mean, we saw, what happened with, the Bush administration. It's like, these are the same people that are writing right now that probably just went nuts. Back in like 2005, 2004, 2005, like, oh my God, how could anybody reelect Bush? You know, how could they? I mean, you wonder about these. It's like, you guys are exactly the same. You are everything you used to hate. Because, I mean, people that just blindly go along with this administration simply because they're so convinced that they are right. They know that they're right. They can't even entertain the possibility that they might be wrong and that they're really making themselves look like a jackasses, which, speaking of jackasses, is there a bigger one in the country right now than Alan Grayson, who I've actually been very, I've defended in the past. I want to kind of like Alan Grayson. I like the fact that he's out there and it doesn't mind being controversial and such, and I do agree with some of his stuff, but he really has been making an ass of himself lately. Do I want to dovetail this already? I still have more Obamacare news to get to, but what do we have here? Interesting. I'm glad Mediaite covered this because I actually happened to coincidentally turn the TV on last night catching the Hannity show and a great segment there last night. This is we got Hannity panelists battle over race-baiting racism on the left. So we have Democratic Congressman Alan Grayson shocked everyone on Tuesday with a provocative fundraising email comparing the Tea Party to the KKK. And on Tuesday night, Sean Hannity got into a heated debate with his guests over the onslaught of attacks from the right. He and Niger Innes agreed that this was completely outrageous, but Democrat Richard Fowler is such, he epitomizes the left. It's just somebody who doesn't want to live in reality. Of course, this is a Democratic strategist, so they have no reason to be intellectually honest. They're just out there to push the talking points, no matter how ridiculous they look, and you couldn't find a better example of that than Richard Fowler and what an embarrassment he is to humanity and to, you know, people, free-thinking, common-sense people in the country who couldn't just admit that what Alan Grayson – and all you really had to say was that, you know, Alan Grayson crossed the line. Alan Grayson, who I try to like, but he put out a fundraising email showing a burning cross with that T and then using that to spell Tea Party, so with the T as a big burning cross, which is way over the line. And it just shows you the arrogance of the left. And I have to really condemn Grayson for that activity. And just to show you, they are so convinced in their little bubble that they're right and the Republicans are wrong. They can't get it around their head that they're both wrong, okay? Whether it's Republican or Democrat, you're both wrong. And Alan Grayson is somebody, it was just a few days ago, a week ago or whatever, I was kind of thinking, because two of the people that I want to like, even though they are goofballs, are Alan Grayson and like Elizabeth Warren. I want to like them, but I just they do weird things. Now she hasn't done anything. The only thing really thing was that weird powwow chow Indian using her non-existent Indian heritage to, I don't know if she got ahead at Harvard or whatever. Side issue. The point is, I was kind of thinking, you know, it'd be interesting to see like a faction like the Tea Party. Speaking of the Tea Party, this all kind of ties together. What about like I would have a lot more respect for the Democrats out there if they could be intellectually honest, if they could create a new faction of the Democrat Party, much like the Tea Party. So you have people like maybe Alan Grayson or Elizabeth Warren, and I don't know a lot of the Democratic people, maybe even just throwing one out there, like maybe even an Al Franken, just a faction within the Democrats like the Tea Party is to Republicans. You know, go against the old guard. You know, people that are going to distance themselves, these new Democrats that are like, you know, anti-Fed, people that are, you know, they're going to go against their old guard. They're not going to associate with Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid or Chuckie Schumer, or Dianne Feinstein, Charlie Rangel. You know, much like there's a rift with the Tea Party where they, distance themselves from people like, you know, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, you know, Peter King, you know, because you have that that old guard faction of the GOP and the new young freshman Tea Party people, and there's that rift. But I would like to see that same rift with the Democrats where you have a new philosophy and you get rid of those old guard. And, you know, that would be at least something that, the, you know, Democrats could have something respectable. Not go, you know, but I don't know anymore about, you know, Grayson here. He's really got to explain something about this email, and he seems to really to go with it. Like, they really want to push this narrative, you know, that with the Tea Party, it's like, you know, one person at the veterans rally, you know, shows up with a Confederate flag, and then they say, well, I guess that means everybody's racist. Now, yes, there's a, you know, a small number of people that, you know, probably are racist. There are a few people that, you know, show up at these things. That you cannot blanket the entire Tea Party as racist because of a few people, a few extremists get in there. And I don't know. So what do you do if you're the Tea Party? Do you try to now they tried to get Herman Cain. I thought that was kind of an overreach. They're trying to make them, because they've had to like respond, because they've been branded as racist without any real proof. They have a few people that of course the Democrats will seize on and say, well, that, you know, if you've got a couple of these wacky people, then that means your whole party is out of whack. But I mean, you know, it's like saying, you know, what if the Democrats had a big rally and a couple people showed up wearing you know, anarchy T-shirts or something? Do we say that the entire, you know, or a few communists show up? Are we going to say the entire Democratic Party is all communists now? I mean, it's that wrong. I want to say be nice with Grayson, but that's just not being intellectually honest, and that's firing up a whole bunch of your dumbed down supporters. Because let's face it, they are the most gullible, lemming-like, wishful thinking people, and I used to be one. I can say that. I'm going to say it anyway. You know, and they're well-meaning people, the Democrats by and large. But you're basically fueling that misinformation. That's just not true. And you can't. I can no longer respect Alan Grayson until he has to make a statement about this. He is dead wrong on his assessment of the Tea Party. What he did was way over the line. I don't know. Speaking of that, and it'd be nice to see. You know, I think, you know, it'd be nice to see the Tea Party being a little more diverse. But they are just trying to. Here's another weird kicker. I think Grayson probably has a lot. When you really add it up, probably has a lot more in common with Tea Party principles than he might think. You know, being kind of anti-Fed. You know, there's certain things. So I don't know where he comes off. He doesn't. Obviously, he does not have a clue about what the Tea Party is. And then to go up and drum up all of this controversy, and he's sticking with it. It's just, how dumb and arrogant do you have to be doing this? And I don't know what else to add here. If I just took a few notes here, I don't know. But he's got some explaining to do for sure. Interesting interview. Liked what Niger Innes had to say. He's actually in the news a couple of times today. But you know what? Here's another article on this is out of Crooks and Liars, which is incredibly partisan. really sadly partisan here. Who say that Alan Grayson is under fire for telling the truth. Really? I mean, this is a lady named Carol I, who seems well-intentioned but has no clue about what the Tea Party is, what libertarianism is, and will not even, are so convinced that they themselves are right, that they're in the right, that they won't even take the time to understand what the other side is saying. They won't even listen. They're just convinced that they must be crazy. So then they just push out these narratives, and they just don't understand how incredibly wrong they are. So this lady goes on to say, actually say what Alan Grace set her fire for telling the truth. Do you really want to go behind them for saying that, putting out burning crosses and saying the Tea Party are all a bunch of racists? I mean, it's just because of one, you know, a couple of bad seeds show up. What is the Tea Party supposed to do? So, if, you know, I'm not in the Tea Party, but if I showed up at a Tea Party rally and there was a guy with the Confederate flag. Now, chances are I'm not going to want anything to do with them. I don't want to talk to them or anything like that. But do you go and, you know, is it their freedom of speech? Is it their freedom of expression if they really want to do that? But I don't know. Or should the Tea Party be like, nope, you can't be here? I don't exactly know how this goes. And you know what? For all I know, there have been Democrats staging things that for all I know, the dude was a Democrat. they've pulled this kind of stuff before. In Texas, I can't remember this is an example I was thinking of with a political activist acting like she was in the Republican, just saying all kinds of controversial things when the whole time she was actually a Democrat in disguise, just trying to make Tea Party people look crazy. You've also got people against, you know, Rand Paul when he was running for election, trying to make themselves look like just incredible redneck crazy people that are in favor of them, and they turned out to also be Democrats. So there's just dirty tricks going around as well. But and this is what's sad in this crooks and liars thing, because it's, you know, crooks and liars, but it's only the Republicans. It's never the Democrats' fault. So, and you're actually using what Alan Grayson, his appearance on the Al Sharpton. We've got an actual Politics Nation. Who takes Politics Nation seriously and Al Sharpton? But I guess Caroline lives in her own little bubble somewhere. So here's what was said. So Reverend Al said, Congressman, does the president have the Tea Party on the ropes? Right, yeah, Obama with the Obamacare debacle really has the Tea Party on the ropes. If anything, they really made Ted Cruz, because when things are going to, what history is going to show, at least for now, in October 23rd here, I would assume they would show, you know, Ted Cruz tried to do the right thing. The Republicans, even if they sided with the Tea Party, whatever, tried to do the right thing by trying to delay Obamacare, not fund it, get away from it. And Ted Cruz spoke for 21 hours on it, and then they finally got it together anyway. They pushed the Obamacare, and then the thing was just a giant flop. So, but anyway, of course, in Al Sharpton's world, that means that he's got the Tea Party on the ropes somehow. I have no idea. But here's what Grayson says. I think so. So he thinks that Obama has the Tea Party on the ropes. And he goes on to say, I think that ordinary Americans are with the president. They're appalled by the Tea Party's tactics. They come to the president saying, if you don't let us steal your car, then we are going to burn down your house. Really, does that analogy really fly with the with what's going on with Obamacare? I think they've burned their own house down. I think if anything, the Tea Party was trying to save you, and I think if they could go back, I'm not going to get into the sheriff thing, but if they could turn back time, I think they would just say, hey, listen, we're going to give the Republicans what they want. We're going to delay this thing for a year, and then nobody would have known how bad the site was. Because now I think it's far worse, the site debacle, than the actual than to sit here and blame the Republicans for delaying it. You shut the government down to put Obamacare so you could have this big flop. Now you own it, but now you think you got the Tea Party on the ropes. This is how intellectually dishonest Alan Grayson is being, because he is, like I said, I want to like the guy, but you're not giving me a choice here, dude. You're deliberately not understanding the Tea Party, not understanding libertarianism, because in your own little world, you see yourself as being in the right. You are so convinced that you're right, that you cannot even entertain any other possibilities that challenge that reality. So anyway, he's just letting himself crash and burn here. So he goes on to say, they come to the president saying, if you don't let us steal your car, blah, blah, blah. All right, so they're appalled by the way the Tea Party cheered on the shutting down of the government, cheered at the fact that we put our credit at risk for a generation to come. We know, sidetrack, what do you care about our credit right now? As far as I know, Grayson is the guy who wanted to end the Fed and, in fact, kind of jumped the shark a year ago, or I can't remember exactly when he was like, we beat the Fed, because he was, you know, siding with, you know, Ron Paul and stuff, and, you know, going against the Federal Reserve, and, you know, Elizabeth Warren also does the same thing. I that's a really positive development. So if anything, I find that to be kind of a contradiction. What if you care about our credit if you want to get rid of the Federal Reserve? That would pretty much start our credit all the way over. We'd have a new system here, I would assume. Maybe we'd have bad credit for a little while until we establish our system. But, you know, at this point with the $17 trillion over our heads, what difference does our credit make at this point anyway? So anyway, now Alan Grayson goes into the talking points. Oh, the shutdown cost America $24 billion. Yeah, big deal when you're up against $17 trillion. Yeah, blame them for the shutdown. So he goes, that's almost $100 for every man, woman, and child in this country. Yeah, big deal. All right, anyway, so frankly, they want their money back and the Tea Party out of their lives. And he says, at this point, the Tea Party is no more popular than the Klan. I mean, again, this Tea Party Klan stuff, and it's actually on record. I don't even want to get into the history of the Klan. The whole point is just really shameless, a terrible comparison. It's not right. It's not intellectually honest. And you're just really making yourself look like a giant jack. I had hopes for this guy. But really, he's got to get his head out of his, you know, fat butt and wake up and see reality here. But anyway, moving on, he goes, what part do I want to cover on this article? So let's get back to this article from Carol Lai here and saying, and hey, let's not forget that just she wants to keep making these arguments that the Tea Party is the KKK of our generation, including Grayson said, oh, yes, here's another quote by Grayson. There is overwhelming evidence that the Tea Party is the home of bigotry and discrimination in America today, just as the KKK was for an earlier generation. I mean, just shockingly ignorant statement by Alan Grayson, who finishes by saying, if the shoe fits, wear it. So, I don't know. Why don't we ask Alan Grayson, what percentage of people in the Tea Party do you really think are KKK type of actual racists? I would really want to get a percentage. Because if you say more than, I would try to be generous here, just to throw out an over-under. I mean, how do you really think that, say, more than 5% of the Tea Party are racist? Do you really? I mean, I think that's an enormously huge number of people that are actually, you know, would wear a Confederate flag or really are. I mean, do you really think? I mean, you're acting like it's, you know, 50% of the people here are just hardcore racist. They are the home of bigotry and discrimination. Really, they are the equivalent of the KKK. I don't know what planet they're living on. I mean, the Tea Party was all set up, you know, much like the old Boston Tea Party, you know, taxed enough already. need major changes. But I don't know where this whole racism thing came from. You had a few people. I mean, are there really good examples of, you know, Tea Party where there's really racist? Now, they also go on to say here, of course, they're pushing out this Larry Klayman guy. I don't really know how I feel about him. Probably saying more than he needs to. Very controversial. He's out there with Confederate flag pals calling for the president to put down his Quran and come out with his hands up. Now, that's where I would distance myself from Larry Klayman. I don't know what he knows about, what he thinks he knows about the president, but, yeah, he's not exactly, you know, helping the cause here. There's a lot of things. There's enough bad things with this president. The last thing we really, anybody really needs to get into is what is. I have no idea, and I don't even know. I could care less of what religion the president is, or if he's got something to do with the Quran or the Muslim Brotherhood. I don't even know. There's all kinds of low hanging fruit to attack with this president and this administration without needing to go there. But of course, that just makes it easy. You know, Larry Klayman becomes the low hanging fruit to attack and make the Tea Party look bad. So you know what? Maybe the Tea Party should start distancing themselves away from people like Larry Klayman, who's really needs to drop the whole Quran. I mean, whatever. I just side issue. But let's get back to this article here. Or let's talk about the fact that right next to the Grayson article, there's somebody on Politico covering Ted Cruz claiming that healthcare.gov was the work of Ethiopian spammers. So I guess that's also being used to say that it's racist, but I don't think that's exactly what was said. As far as I know, Ted Cruz made a comparison about the Nigerian email scams, so I don't think that's really, unless he misspoke, I don't see any racism there. That's a, but of course, Caroline is trying to assume that is. She says nothing racist about either organization if you think it's totally okay for white people to make sure black people's votes are suppressed. I mean, you just kind of, you get into the head of Caroli, who just can't see any more common sense than Alan Grayson does. So anyway, Tea Party Nation has already cranked up the outrage machine over this, whining and crying about what that liberal congressman said. Yeah, well, they should be claiming outrage, because it's not fair to say that their Tea Party are racist. There's a handful of people that, are questionable sorts, people like Larry Klayman or that goofball that showed up with the Confederate flag and they need to distance themselves. But as far as that representing the vast majority of Tea Party people, that's not true. So she goes on to say, yes, such outrage from a group who routinely refers to the president as a dictator and his presidency as a regime, who routinely compares him to Hitler and scares all the old folks into believing he's really a Kenyan socialist who wants Granny to go off to a death camp. What nonsense. Well, okay. I don't know what to touch on that one. Certainly some of the Obama dictator stuff isn't that far-fetched with his executive orders and his wanting to bypass Congress on anything. So there are some bad things. And Hitler, I don't know, but it's very concerning that you have masses of people, including Caroli, who seem to think that he can do no wrong. Like a bunch of lemmings will follow him wherever he goes. And anybody that says anything is a racist. All right. But is he a Kenyan socialist? No. I don't know. he's certainly a collectivist. And he's got ties to radical communists, including Frank Marshall Davis and the Ayers and his Chicago connections. And I don't know, is this something to do with death panels, perhaps? But anyway, this is what Caroline wants to say. This is going on. I guess she's reaching out here. Listen up. Tea Party, and the press who cover them, that would be me, for far too long you have given this group of racist, bigoted haters cover to keep being bigots and haters by legitimizing them. Well, okay, I'm addressing your column, Caroline, and I'm saying, and I'm covering this, and I'm saying, okay, do you really think more than, here's my take on it. I'm just saying, I think 5% is being more than generous. How many people do you think are actually racist in the Tea Party? I would say that are actually hardcore racist, that are actually just against Obama just for the fact that he's black, or just hate, minorities. What would you really put the percentage at? And I would have to say, I don't know. I'll say less than, I'll give 5%. I think 5% is way being generous, because I don't really know. Because I want to try to be, I don't want to get less than 2% of people that actually are potential racists. But then you look at, if you look at the Democratic Party, I mean, if you put, could you find bigger numbers of bad people in the Democratic Party? 2%, would you say, that are, people that are anarchists or crazy, wacko, communist, socialist, pinkos, whatever we want to say, that are just as equally bad as any racist in the Tea Party. People don't want to, associate with these wackos anyway. So I think it's disingenuous. But really, how many people do you think are racist? So that would be my question, I guess, to Carol I. What percentage of people do you think are actually hardcore racists in the Tea Party? Or are you just trying to take a few bad apples and then blanket the entire Tea Party and say that they're all racist? And that's just being intellectually dishonest. So anyway, she goes on to say, if one congressman has the balls to call them for what they are, he isn't the problem. Until we clean out the cancerous slime that dwells in the upper rims of hater hell by shining some light on who they really are, the disease will spread. Hey, you know what? I have no problem. If there are actual racists in the Tea Party, then yes, they should be dealt with and left away. So, let's say, I'll give you an idea. I'll give you an example of one guy who may be a racist. Was with the Rand Paul campaign. What's his name? Jack Hunter. You know what? He's got some, he's definitely has a lot of questionable things on the record. He may, in fact, have some, whether he is now or not, he's definitely got a history of making some terrible racist remarks. And I think it's good, and I'm not judging him or whatever, I'm just saying I think it's great that the Rand Paul is distancing themselves from Jack Hunter, because until Jack Hunter wants to redeem himself for the things that he's said. But that needs to happen. So, in order to gain some credibility, I guess we're going to have to find. So maybe they could just name some actual examples here, Caroline. So she did name Klayman, and I can name Jack Hunter. There are a few of these bad people, and they should be distanced from. They shouldn't be in the Tea Party. There definitely needs to be. Maybe that then they'll just take that ammunition away. But that doesn't take away what Alan Grayson did, which was really way over the line. So anyway, here is the last line from Carol Ice, who says, Alan Grayson should be applauded for speaking the truth rather than being vilified for it. Let's stop sugarcoating the truth and start telling it. All right, well, what is it? How many people, how many people do you really think are actual racists that are in the Tea Party? And let's actually be intellectually honest about that. So, I don't know, I guess if I was Alan Grayson, I should be saying, you know what, that was over the line. It's firing up a bunch of people and pushing this false myth that the Tea Party are a bunch of racists. And they should just say, hey, there's a few people that are bad, and the Tea Party should distance themselves from it. Okay, any of these high-profile people, and including Larry Klayman, I don't care, get them out. And maybe, I don't know, I guess that's how they're going to have to reinvent their, I don't even know. What a mess. But where to go? Where to go next? I don't know. I think I'm way over my time here. But yeah, we all need to speak the truth, get to the bottom of everything. Purge the bad people out of any organization, get to the truth. But I mean, that also includes, you know, Caroline. That includes Alan Grayson here. So anyway, I wonder if I should check out any of the comments on that article. I can get to them. How about good for Grayson? If the Republicans are outraged, then Grayson did something right. Stop teabaggers have earned this? Really? They've earned that. Okay. No. Great post. Cruz actually said that the ACA phone lines were being run by Nigerian email scammers. Thank you. Yes, but still racist. Okay, just because they're Nigerian emails and Nigerians are black people in Africa, so that means that it's racist. Okay. And it goes on to say, I hate Politico. They are GOP cheerleaders made up of political hacks. Actually, that's not true. They are card-carrying Democratic cheerleaders, but they've gotten better and a little bit more objectively honest in the last couple years. I would comment, but of course I've already been banned from Crooks and Liars, so I can't get my I'm no longer allowed to comment and to battle with the crazy people there. All right, moving on. Actually, it's time for a quick break. I'll be back on the other side. Blake the Eccentric, The Eccentric Perspective on Freedomizer Radio. I might as well just do the whole 3 hours today since I've got extra time and a heavy news day. So if you're out there, stick around. I'll be back. More stuff. Blake, so I already mentioned they plugged the show already. All right, Eccentric Perspective, Freedomizer Radio, back in two.
Hey folks, welcome to Exposing the Enemy. I'm your host, Jer. You can catch us on Wednesdays and Friday nights, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific, on freedomizerradio.com. You're going to find me, my co-host, Godsend Angel, and Dr. Elizabeth McKee, as we bring the news and the Word of God to you, Elizabeth.
Godsend Angel and myself discuss Bible prophecy, being fulfilled, and how to prepare spiritually in these last days.
Not forget to tune in, folks. It's always a good time with us. Call in or join us on a chat. Again, Wednesdays and Friday nights, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific, only on freedomizerradio.com, exposing the enemy.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hi, Freedomizers. I'm Lily Gonzalez, announcing my new show, Roaring for Healthcare with Tiger Lily. I was a registered nurse for many years, caring for patients from birth to death in 36 facilities across the nation, and I know firsthand just how utterly broken our healthcare system is. But now I'm free from nursing. So I'm able and thrilled to give you some juicy behind-the-scenes insights and advice to help you and your loved ones get the most from our healthcare system. Join me Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific Time to roar about healthcare only on Freedomizer Radio.
the Eccentric, the Eccentric Perspective on Freedomizer Radio. And yes, I am going to do the full 3-hour block today, since it doesn't appear, since you know, some of the other hosts, I guess, have not. I know I'm a tough act to follow, but no, actually, I have no idea what's going on. But since there's been openings, and I've been talking about getting perhaps extra time, so why not? Not a big news day. Can't really say I've got anything better to do today, so it's all good. Get some extra time in. It's always nice, and to cover more articles and not have to. It can be very frustrating. You know, you get a couple different types of shows. Sometimes there's kind of a, what I would call a slower news day, where it's I get anxious, like, oh no, I hope I have enough material here to cover an hour and a half show. And then you get days like today, when there's just a ton of stuff, and it's going to be, it's nice to have that extra time. So, where to go to now? You know, because I was just on the Crooks and Liars blog, so why don't I move on to another quick hit here, another Crooks and Liars article that I thought was noteworthy. Which is Fox PR Flax used sock puppets in blog comment section. So this was by, what, Nicole Bell, who says, I don't think this comes as a surprise to any regular reader of the Crooks and Liars comment. I do not doubt that there are Fox sock puppets amid the comments. So here we go. Where is this from? This is kind of unclear. I don't know where she pulled this from. But in a chapter focusing on how Fox utilized its notoriously ruthless public relations department in the mid to late 2000s, NPR media critic there's something credible. NPR media critic? Okay, somebody who's, what, funded by the government, pushing establishment talking points. There's in the PR department who... Is a media critic, really? Okay. But anyway, David Folkenflik, is that really? Folkenflik reports that Fox's PR staffers would post pro-Fox rants in the comment sections of, quote, negative and even neutral blog posts written about the network. And according to Folkenflik, the staffers used various tactics to cover their tracks, including setting up wireless broadband connections that, quote, could not be traced back to the network. So a former staffer told Folkenflik that they had personally used, quote, 100 fake accounts to plant Fox-friendly commentary. Okay, so Folkenflik cannot say whether the practice is still being used, but I think it's safe to say it is. Of course it is, and it doesn't just isolated to Fox News. It's on a lot of the major websites. In fact, there is a ton of Obama sock puppets all over Twitter. I've called a lot of them out, and of course they've cowardly blocked me. What do I got here? I got a phone call, which I can. Man, I'm gonna have to take this. Damn it! All right, give me a minute. I'll be back on the other side.
Blessings to the remnant of the saints of the Most High, freedomizers, family, and friends. The Lord's humble servant Emmanuel here, inviting you to join me every Tuesday and Saturday afternoons for the Sound Doctors Ministries Fellowship Program right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, noon Pacific Standard Time. We'll have our Christian Common Sense commentaries. We'll bring you Christian Update, occasional guests, and great gospel music. Look, you need to grow in your spiritual life. This is the place. Let us reason together. Blessings and peace to your home. Join us, won't you? SoundDoctrinalFreedomizerRadio.com.
Join me, Valerie Ann, on the Truth Exposition Show at Freedomizer Radio in exposing the truth about FEMA camps, drone surveillance, martial law, the New World Order,
on threatened freedoms and civil liberties, and for weekly news and current events. Mainstream media continues with its lies and deceit to fulfill the agenda of the New World Order. So please join me in exposing the truth, along with the lies and the deceptions that are being fed to the American people. The people of the United States have a voice, and your voice will be heard through Freedomizer Radio.
How do you wake up in the morning? Do you jump out of bed with a smile? Or do you hit the snooze button over and over again? Tune in each Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time to Wake Up and Live. I'm your host, Christine Siegel. On my show, you will learn valuable health and wellness tips that will boost your energy levels. Are you eating a sad diet? Learn how to find quality, nutrient-dense foods. Life is what you make of it. Only you can change your life. You are that important. Join me, Christine Siegel, on Wake Up and Live here on Freedomizer Radio. How do you wake up in the morning? Do you jump out of bed with a smile? Or do you hit the snooze button over and over again? Tune in each Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time to Wake Up and Live. I'm your host, Christine Siegel. On my show, you will learn valuable health and wellness tips that will boost your energy levels. Are you eating a sad diet? Learn how to find quality, nutrient-dense foods. Life is what you make of it. Only you can change your life. You are that important. Join me, Christine Siegel, on Wake Up and Live here on Freedomizer Radio.
All right, well, I'm back. Looks like about a, looks like I had my mic off for about 20 minutes. That's not good, but this is what happens when I try to take phone calls. I had to shut my mic off, obviously, then I forgot to turn it back on again. This has happened before, so I've just been speaking basically to myself for the last half an hour as I've been trying to cover the news, so I don't even remember where I left off, probably on that goofy Crooks and Liars article, which I made a lot of good points on a lot of different things, but there's probably been dead silence and dead air for the last 20 minutes or so. I don't think anybody's actually listening anymore, or I think somebody would have said something by now. But anyway, so I've got about 14 minutes left in the broadcast. Damn it, I was doing so well with the nice three-hour show, and then one little, that was totally my fault. I own that one. All right, anyway, let's get back to the, I don't know what to get to now. I pretty much lost everybody. I don't know if anybody's going to hear this. Unless you just popped in recently, because there's been dead air on for so long. So I'd be tempted to just run, like, you know, if there was a 15-minute replay, which there's not, I would run it. But let's find something to wrap up the rest of the show with, not that anybody's going to hear this audio. So let me take a quick break here. All right, that was my quick break. We'll just go on to the InfoWars headlines. We've got Obamacare asks Americans to be, quote, be a part of Team Obamacare. Isn't that all of your dreams out there? Is you want to be a part of who wants to be a part of Team Obamacare right now? I think you want to go run screaming for the hills? Yes. You don't think I'm going to be busy that day? No. You know, they can't even get, like, more than two people to show up at half of these events where they try to explain Obamacare. And you think people are actually going to want to be a part of this team, this train wreck? Could you imagine going door to door? I don't really know where this article's going. But would you want to be part of Team Obamacare in the wake of the disaster that has been? I certainly wouldn't. Would you want to have, like, just, yeah, hypothetically, even if you're calling people, you know, making cold calls or knocking on doors, and you want to try to sign up people to be a navigator, either you want to be a navigator, you want to sign people up, you think you're going to get dealt with you're going to deal with so much crap from people. And it's well-deserved. It's a big, disastrous program. So you're going to have a lot of people hanging up on you and slamming doors in your face. Sure, but if you want to deal with that. So anyway, the Obama administration is fully aware that one should never let a good disaster go to waste, which is why the president is using the healthcare.gov website meltdown as a fundraising tool and a way of encouraging more of his supporters to volunteer their time to push his agenda. By now, you've probably heard that the website has not worked as smoothly as it was supposed to, Obama told his supporters in an address sent out late Tuesday. And that's why I need your help, he said in a bizarre video pitch that links an online fundraiser being pushed by the pro-Obama political advocacy group Organizing for Action. I mean, it's just the shamelessness just never ends, does it? And this is kind of, I kind of covered this already in a previous Daily Caller article, but perhaps I will tweet that out. What else do we have in the news? We've got the Department of Justice censoring a blogger for documents that they released. Very interesting. The TSA apparently, and I'm not really sure if I'm following all the details. You probably want to check with John Corbett, and I know he's been, I guess, done a couple of interviews with InfoWars Nightly News, that some documents came out that the TSA is aware that, you know, the any kind of terrorist type of events are extremely rare, and that all of this, you know, these security measures go far beyond what they would actually really need in the real world. And, you know, they basically admitted it as such, but now it was supposed to not be published. It was, or, and then they've sent out new documents that are with things that are redacted and blacked out. So now this is kind of becoming, I don't know if is a judge going to go after Corbett, because maybe he wasn't supposed to talk about this. He's violating a court order, but the of course the documents were on a public site. So I'd be like, you know, you're saying there's a gag order on something and you're not allowed to talk about certain issues, but then the smoking gun leaks are up on a website somewhere. Does that does the gag order still apply? Because now everybody already knows. So anyway, I don't really know if I can cover that in too much detail, but interesting. Good to see John Corbett still keeping up the good fight. I've also got a lot of interesting about all hell could be breaking loose on November 1st. We've got Neil Cavuto. Neil Cavuto usually seems to kind of play it safe, talking about the debacle. That could happen. Another debacle. I'm using the word debacle a lot this podcast. But, yeah, something's going to be going down. Food stamps are cut. There's going to be food stamp cuts set to take effect on November 1st, which people are getting a bit alarmed about. So, yeah, happy Halloween. You're going to get your food stamp benefits cut back. And is that what is causing, because there's a big article put out by Paul Joseph Watson, and I'm surprised Fox News is Neil Cavuto is basically covering this, because the Department of, I didn't really see this put out anywhere else, that the Department of Homeland Security is spending $80 million on armed guards to protect government buildings. And he thinks that that's directly connected to potential food stamp riots. I mean, this is a pretty big deal coming from Neil Cavuto. So InfoWars, yes, first reported on Monday that the Department of Homeland Security has announced its intention to hire a raft of new armed guards to prepare for public demonstrations and civil disturbances in upstate New York, adding that some of the guards would be posted outside IRS facilities. Okay, so yeah, looks like we're getting prepared for that civil unrest, economic collapse, any kind of, anybody see a banking holiday, who knows, but I'm not really sure I understand why the food stamp cuts are going to be in effect on November 1st, but, you know, who knows how the public will react to such a thing, so... Anyway, I'm sure they'll try to blame the Tea Party, of course. But moving on, we've got, what else do I have? Great article by Mike Adams. Let me see if I can keep that one or talk. Oh, and John Rappaport's got a good article. Man, 3 hours, and I still didn't even get to a lot of this stuff. And I won't even have time to cover that. But, of course, well, I could say 3 hours. I did lose a substantial amount of time because my microphone was off. My bad. All right, well, either that or a replay. But, yeah, still embarrassing. Didn't need to happen. But I had to take a phone call for reasons I can't explain. All right. But anyway, here we go. I'll leave you with two more articles, which I'll definitely tweet out. Here's Mike Adams saying, how much longer can Obama and Carney and Sebelius keep up the delusion? Well, Sebelius is on the run. Obama always runs. He never faces any tough questions. He lets Jay Carney address that. And, of course, Carney was getting hit with so many questions the other day, he had to walk out. He walked out during the White House presser because he couldn't handle it and kept saying, you got to ask Sebelius. But then Sebelius keeps running away, too. So, yeah, you know, you guys can't run and hide forever. But, yes, Obamacare is the emperor's new clothes. So, from Mike Adams, when HHS launched healthcare.gov, it disastrously crashed. And when Obama gave out the 800 number to call because the website didn't work, it also crashed. The Spanish language version of healthcare.gov has completely crashed, too. And according to reports, zero people have successfully enrolled in the state of New York. So the Obama administration still can't name a single person who has successfully enrolled through healthcare.gov, and 300,000 Floridians are about to have their health insurance plans canceled due to Obamacare. So the number of people who have lost their health insurance versus the number who have enrolled is running somewhere around now, before I give out the number here, yeah, this kind of dovetails into that John Boehner article, I think it was out of the Washington Times, where he says that a lot more people are going to lose their insurance versus the number of people that are actually signing up to get you know, their insurance. And, yeah, that's an understatement. But Mike Adams, well, he'll give you the understatement numbers. It looks like it, you know, according to him, 100,000 to 1. So for every person that actually successfully gets through the Obamacare website and gets health insurance, you have 100,000 people that are losing theirs. So I don't know, bold number, perhaps, I don't know. So chasing unicorns and fairy tales. So we've got ABC News recently reported, yeah, I mean, look at the people that actually have gotten through. It takes an enormous amount of effort. It's just not so simple. It's not as simple as, you know, getting onto Kayak and, you know, comparing a few flights and getting the best price. So anyway, ABC News recently reported on a man who spent 4.5 hours on the phone with the Obamacare hotline and still couldn't get signed up. And we got one man in Iowa claims to have finally logged into healthcare.gov after trying 100 times. That's dedication. That is a big Obama supporter right there. He wasn't even sure if he wasn't enrolled yet, but he did receive a call from an insurance company congratulating him on being their first customer, almost as if he had won the lottery. It's almost like, Yeah, you know, the exchange goes up October 1st, and all these insurance companies are waiting for all the emails and all the phone. Yeah, I guess it would probably be an email alerting them that somebody has signed up for their program. And they just sit there for a couple of weeks, like, I wonder what's going on. I wonder what's, it's like the website must be having some issues. Then finally, somebody gets through, and you're like, oh, my God, one person in 2 weeks, and it turns out this guy tried 100 times, finally got through, and it was like, yeah, one, like winning the lottery. It was like, oh, my God, I can't believe you did it. You actually got through the site. You know, congratulations on being our new customer. Anyway, great article. Yes, the emperor is butt naked right now. Good stuff. I will tweet it out. Ah, and I didn't, you know, I wanted to cover this in more detail because then I could have got to all the, a lot of great Chuck Norris jokes at the end, not to ruin it, but something to look forward to. I will tweet that out, so please follow me at Eccentric99, and I will get all the highlights out of the, okay? Including this John Rappaport article. How many lies can the White House tell before the walls collapse? And, of course, Obamacare has no one to blame but himself. He was the one who campaigned on hope and change. He was the one who deployed high-flying rhetoric to promise a new day in Washington politics. He was the one who said he was going to elevate the level of discourse and make government transparent. He positioned himself as a new kind of leader. He was the one who turned his candidacy into a religious experience. He was the one who convinced voters he stood above the fray as a man and as a symbol. And on that basis, they boarded his train and rode it all the way. He was the one who, inheriting a desperate economy, made his signature move upon gaining office. Obamacare. Not jobs. Not prosecutions of corporate and banking criminals. He made devastating choices for all Americans. But anyway, that's, I will leave it there. It's my time to go. I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you all for listening. Stick around. What do we have? Guerrilla Radio probably coming up on the other end of this short break. And I will see you tomorrow. Thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful day. I'm out.
Learn the vegan truth with MC Fructose.
Oh, yeah. MC Fructose in the house.
Tune in every Friday at...
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.